Your Honor.
May I please the court? My name is Richard Rubin. With me is Ms. Stacy Bardo. We represent the plaintiff appellant, Gary Ioffe. What's most remarkable about this case, Your Honor, is not simply that the defendant appellee is urging this court to abandon entirely the plain language and the plain meaning of this law. And what's even more remarkable is that the reason that it wishes to do so, because it conflicts in its opinion with the recited purpose of the law, and that itself is insufficient under the precedent of this court and the Supreme Court. But what's most remarkable is that when one looks at this law, the facts in this case coincide precisely with the purpose as adopted by Congress in the 1986 Truth in Knowledge Act amendments. That is, to prevent, as a safeguard, the prevention of odometer tampering and odometer fraud. The statute itself, at section 32701, the formal findings and purpose, at subsection B2, which is mentioned in the briefs, but which just isn't discussed, it says that the purpose of the law, number one, is to prohibit tampering. Number two, to provide safeguards to protect purchasers in the sale of these vehicles. This is a safeguard provision that Congress adopted in the Truth in Knowledge Act with the specific statement in the Senate report that its purpose was to close the loophole that had allowed before then the disclosure of... We don't actually know that, Your Honor. We can't know that because this was a rebuilt wreck. The car was missing. It was a $500 junker. But we're not claiming it. Yes. We cannot, that's right, we cannot claim that in this case. Absolutely. No. It covers any fraud, intended fraud, in the sale of the car, in which the means by which the fraud is perpetrated violates the regulations, the statute, or an order by the Secretary. That is the precise language of the statute. Your Honor, every fraud under this classification affects the odometer. Every fraud. No, sir, because that is not a require. The disclosure of the condition of the transmission is not a requirement of the statute. The requirement of the statute, which, Your Honor? Oh, definitely. This in 1986, well, the statute itself was amended to say that to state that the odometer disclosures must be provided on the title document. There's a power of attorney exception, which doesn't apply here, but they used it anyway. That's the statute, and the regulation as well mirrors it. They violated it. Exactly. They did not use the title document to make the disclosures. There are several, but it's all involving. This is very much all involved with the odometer, not just the misrepresentation. It's my concern. It's Congress's concern. It's one focus. Another one is the chain of title, which is so important in this whole area. The integrity of the chain of title, not just in the odometer tampering, but the representations and the enforcement, which is so important. NHTSA and the U.S. attorneys rely on the chain of title and the integrity of the chain of title for a whole host of activities involving the integrity of the car and its odometer.
And
the title here was forged. Even the power of attorney was filled out in blank, was signed in blank. There was no title. There was, the chain of title was broken in this case, in accordance with the law and the regulations of the secretary in NHTSA. This is a very important, and this is a recurring problem, admittedly, and it's a very important issue in the integrity of the of these. There are 44 million used cars that are sold in this country every year. 44 million, and each... Oh, I'm sorry, Your Honor. Yes, I will retain. But there are 44 million cars that are sold, used cars, that are sold in this country. And every one of them has becomes a multi-billion dollar enterprise. And the ability to maintain that integrity by private enforcement. Lord knows NHTSA and the state attorneys general have no resources to follow 44 million cars. It is the people who are victimized and potentially victimized. And that's what this case is about. It is about enforcement, prevention, and safeguards. Well, not in this case. Vaguely, it depends on the jurisdiction. It depends on the in this case, they're denying there's any state claims either. They say it's not a breach of warranty. That was and then you look around the country, which is just a matter of first impression. Illinois doesn't really have parallel provisions, but around the country, the uniformity of enforcement that Congress was interested in is totally undermined by this ruling below. But I will retain the remainder of my time. Thank you, Your Honors.
Good morning. Ira Levin, along with Kimberly Smith, on behalf of Sherman Dodge. In deciding this case, the district court, like the majority of district courts around the country, looked at what Congress did in 1994 when they recodified the Act. The Act was renamed the Federal Odometer Act at that time, and it contained in its very first section the express findings and purposes, all of which focused exclusively on odometers. The purposes, the two purposes stated in that section are to prohibit tampering with odometers and to provide safeguards to protect purchasers from buying motor vehicles with altered or reset odometers. The record below that the district court considered was devoid of any allegation, evidence, or claim of any kind that the odometer on this vehicle had been tampered with, altered, or reset. In fact, in the brief submitted to this court, on page 5 in the statement of facts, the plaintiff admits that at the time of the sale, they received an odometer disclosure statement that accurately stated the vehicle's mileage. In light of those two express purposes of the Act, and the fact that there's an admission that there is no odometer discrepancy here, there can't be an odometer fraud claim. The plaintiffs have their right to and are pursuing an action in state court, which is now pending in the Circuit Court of Cook County, that there was some kind of a deceptive practice here, but there is no issue involving an altered or reset odometer, and that is what Congress made clear this Act is designed to protect against. The district court, in its opinion here, when it found that the words intent to defraud went to the mileage of the vehicle, it said, this ensures a clear connection between the harm suffered by the customer, that is, the purchase of a car with higher mileage than expected, and the harm prohibited by the Act, that is, the sale of cars with inaccurate odometers. For as many years as people have been bringing claims under this Act, the damages that are determined under this Act are based upon the difference between the value of the vehicle as represented with, for example, 10,000 miles versus a vehicle that has mileage unknown. That's what the experts do in these cases. That's how damages are determined. They have damages that they're pursuing under this claim, which they're also pursuing under the Illinois Consumer Fraud Act, as well as common law fraud in the case that's been filed in the Circuit Court of Cook County. The issue over the 1986 amendment that was raised about the on-the-title disclosure was addressed and rejected in the Compton versus Alta Vista Motors case that we cited in our brief. One of the many district court decisions that have looked at this issue in recent years. In that case, they said that the on-the-title disclosure requirement is simply a means of fulfilling the Act's previously articulated purposes, which no doubt accounts for the fact that the findings and purposes section of the Act was not amended to reflect the addition of the on-the-title disclosure requirement. In other words, it's not in that first section that is now part of the Act that was recodified in 1994. And they went on to say that the requirement that mileage disclosure be made on the title document itself is just another safeguard to protect purchasers from buying cars with altered or reset odometers. The plaintiff himself testified there was no odometer issue here. They've admitted in their brief in this case before this court that the mileage was accurate. There is simply not an issue over the odometer, and since it is the Federal Odometer Act, that ends the inquiry, and the district court correctly decided the case. I think we've covered any other issues that have been raised in the briefs, and I don't have anything further, Your Honor, unless you have questions for me. Thank you.
Your Honor, the Compton case is instructive because the judge, as counsel just said this is a mere safeguard against, he admitted it's a mere safeguard against odometer tampering. Exactly. That's what Congress intended. The NHTSA on page 19 of the opponent's brief tries to distinguish the NHTSA statement that the failure to use the title would defeat the purpose of this act. We cited that right out of the Federal Register, and the Sherman Dodge says, oh, it's only a safeguard. Safeguarding is exactly what Congress said they wanted to do here. There is no requirement in the plain language of this act that there be actual odometer fraud. And Your Honor, Judge Flom, in the Obert decision that we concluded with in our brief, stated so clearly that when we start looking at what the purpose, this perceived purpose of a congressional action is, that to enforce that perceived purpose at the expense of the plain language is to actually frustrate the effectuation of congressional intent. Here, we don't even have that problem because Congress stated clearly that its purpose was to safeguard. It is this type of enforcement. People need to be alerted to conditions that will tell them whether to do the research. Mr. Iofi, had he been told, given the title and seen this was a rebuilt car, he might have known the incidents in which rebuilt cars are altered, the odometers are altered. He might have known that. He might have then attempted to pursue that and find out whether it was an accurate odometer reading. When he went to reconvey the car, he cannot certify. It is not just simply the simple act of the used car seller selling a car without the certificate of title, but it sets into motion a chain because every buyer becomes a seller who then has to certify whether the information is accurate. Mr. Iofi, as it turned out, he discovered this may not be accurate, but he was not. Most people become unwitting pawns in the title fraud when they resell their used car because if they have not been given the information on the title because they can't check to see if this is a red flag. Lease cars are a red flag. Rebuilt cars are a red flag. The gray market car, the Canadian car in the Tuckish case, which the newest case that came down after the briefing, totally illustrates this point. That was a rebuilt, it was a used Canadian car. And it was, again, the defendant in this case tries to distinguish it by saying, well, it was a pleading requirement. When you start revising a statute, how are we going to rewrite this one? Is it the pleading requirement that there's an opportunity to tamper? Is it a proof problem? How does one write that? What are the consequences of writing that when it's rewritten judicially? Congress did not put this element into the statute. And when the courts start adding elements In an area as complicated as this one, the instant title searches that NHTSA and law enforcement do, they all rely on the chain of title. The consequences are extreme, they're unintended, they're unforeseeable. And we urge you, Your Honor, to follow the plain language of the statute and not be tempted to exercise a wisdom which only the legislature has under our system. The issue is pending in the 11th Circuit right now. I'm counsel in that case, too. We have oral argument in August in that case. This is going to be a matter of first impression, but it will be decided by... the Leslie case, the first in 1975, I believe, actually held the first case to decide this issue, agreed with us. If you look carefully, if you see now the facts in Leslie, there was no intent to defraud. But the Georgia case, Leslie, was the first one. And in fact, though, the real issue comes up after 1986. There was, until the title document rule came into effect, there really was no opportunity to apply the plain language outside of the actual disclosure. Thank you, Your Honor.